the book of Revelation and reading the 10th verse. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. The vision that was given to John concerning one of his churches, even Smyrna. And I say the words might seem somewhat depressing on impact. We might indeed say, I want none of those things, that would be too much for me. If not kept, would be like those disciples who heard the preaching of Jesus with regard to the hardness of the way. They said, this is a hard saying, and they turned back and walked no more with him. But Jesus here, in speaking to John concerning Smyrna, he fully understands their weakness and their fears, knowing full well the things they will be called to pass through. Not only were they children of God, but they were the enemies of Satan. And surely that is a good place to be in. We can't serve two masters. And when it comes to it, we don't want to. But I say, oh, how dependent we are on the Lord's mercy and faithfulness. How shall we endure to the end without the realization of his promises unto us? But notice, as I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. We may would not count necessarily tribulation and poverty to be rich. But when I say the Lord is with us to bless and to support us, come what may, to prove that he is all sufficient for us. We live to prove that truth that the apostle speaks of. We're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of him. And oh, surely is not this the point that Satan loves to attack? Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. And how oft times it is that the Lord sees fit that he let his people be cast into prison, that all the world might know, the church might know, how Satan might know, oh, that he cannot conquer and he cannot overcome. He cannot indeed destroy the promise that Jesus gave while he was here on earth. I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. What a wonder that is. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast you into prison. And he says here that thou shalt have tribulation 10 days. Does that mean literally just 10 days? Well, if that was so, I'm sure many would say, well, I've had my portion, if that be the case. No. 10 is often used where anything concerning trial and proving things are to be found. I say, you notice where the word comes in Scripture, 10, and how where those three Hebrew children who would not bow to the king's command, it was there he said, well, give us then pulse 10 days and see how we fare upon pulse, but we do not want to eat this food that is offered to idols, the devil's work. Friend, some of you should have be tempted in such a way. You shall have this tribulation and may well be cast into prison because he's not getting his own way. What do they cast people into prison for? In lands without any justice? Is it not for the purpose of intimidation and put fear into them, and therefore they will bow to the mind and will of their oppressors? Fear none of these things. They cannot overcome, and nor can you, but you shall overcome through Jesus Christ, who overcomes all things for his people. What a mercy it is to be tried and proved to be true 10 days. Yes, we find it many times in Scripture. I won't go aside in bringing these things forth as such. I'm sure this is not a Bible class, but nevertheless, 10 days, the time appointed for trial, the time of strengthening in the days of trial, the time indeed to bear the weighty cross, the time indeed of self-denial, yes, and whereby we would rather die than touch the unclean thing. I say to fear none of these things. He understands, I say, our temperament. He understands indeed how weak we are by nature and our great need of him. Our great need of him. How did it appear so many times in Scripture, but appear so many times in our lives? Or have we gone on self-sufficient and had no need of him? I say, the child of God, the children under trial, they praise him and bless him for the same, that he is supportive to them under every trial. And as Paul said, we are more than conquerors through him that hath loved us. Yes, we shall win the battle, we shall overcome, but not of ourselves, but of his almighty grace. Fear none of these things. Looking within, what have we got to offer? What have we got to assure ourselves that we shall overcome? Fear none of these things. Is there not a threat of life and death attached to these words? Yet they shall overcome at last. Yes, indeed, fear none of these things. For if Satan is allowed to destroy our body, destroy all our liberties, why, he cannot take away that sacred union that we have with Jesus Christ. because I say he has paid a price, an immense price, yea, for such sinners as we. It's something we can't understand, isn't it, really? How he could put such a value on such unworthy sinners as I, one indeed who's walked in trespasses and sins, and have forsaken the true and living God and gone our own way. Yet, my friends, his covenant stands sure. He will never alter. He will never change. Therefore, the victory in these matters will always be to his honour and glory. I say, what a mercy. Yes, he says, fear not. Yes, that's word of assurance to his people. You know, there is a community, a section of people, especially among some of the young and rising generation, and they look upon fear as a sin and a transgression. They look upon fear as a direct weakness of ours, and it is not indeed supportive of Almighty God. No, but I say Almighty God supports his people in their fears. He would never say fear not if he was bent to destroy them. If he wouldn't say fear not if he didn't understand their weakness and the reason of things. Always say, how often we come to that word in Job, the reason of things. Yes, blessed be his name. Oh, that we know not the reason of things, but he surely does. I remember years ago now hearing a dear servant of the Lord preach from that text, and I'd been amazed that he sunk away into the oblivion, was not heard of anymore because of some troubled dislocation in his church. But nevertheless, I say the reason of things belongs to God. And that dear man was a man named Mr. Howard Stovold, a godly man, a great and deep mystery. I say this because we might feel in that dark and helpless position such as he, and he says, fear not, but ye shall overcome at last. Thou shalt gain the victory. Ye shall surely prove to be more than conquerors through him that hath loved us. Now, why did the Lord speak these words to the church at Smyrna? It wasn't just an off chance, as we might say. There was a direct purpose in it. There's a purpose in everything that the Lord does. He never wastes one single word. All his words are important. How we need to remember that. And how Satan likes to come and rearrange the words of Almighty God to create fear in our hearts. He said, fear none of these things. My word shall stand. My counsel shall prevail. Not one jot or one tittle shall ever be moved. I say, what a wise counsellor he surely is. Surely how great he is. He's better than any barrister or solicitor that we might seek to employ. For surely he will overcome and put all mankind to confusion. How true it is that the fear of man, it bringeth a snare. Fear none of those things. He certainly sets up those snares for poor, weak individuals such as we. But he says, fear none of those things. The things that the churches passed through in the days of John are no different to what they are passing through at this time. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And what will be that be? The proving of the reality of our faith, the proving of our union to Jesus Christ, the sinner's only hope, the proving that he is a faithful, loving friend. Oh, beloved of the Lord Most High, let praises be our sweet employ. Thou shalt have tribulation 10 days, but I say they will never break that union, that bond between the child of God and the covenant keeping God. Yes, 10 days. How oft times we may have said, how shall I to the end endure? How can I go on with this? How can I face the future? How often we might even come to the new year and have said, well, looking back on the past year, can I bear the thought of another year like this? Oh, how often in visiting people I've heard them say, I cannot endure another year or another space of time like I have passed through. And surely we often feel swallowed up for want of words and wisdom to speak to them. But in looking back, how often we find them in time to come in the same place, still steadfastly minded, still graciously supported by the Almighty. Fear not. Yes, you shall have tribulation 10 days. Are not our afflictions dealt in weight and measure? How foolish sometimes we have been when we have coveted the lot of others, or think that others do not get their fair share of the trials. We may be left to say, that it always happens to me. But friends, that is not so. Is it not God's wise appointment for us each? You shall have tribulation 10 days. That may seem a long time. It's been the case. And how far have I got through this period? My friend, the Lord only knows. Is it not to make us sick of self and fond of him? Lord, thou hast told me, thou hast said, thou shalt have tribulation 10 days. And look, I am fainting, I am drooping, and things are going from bad to worse. My experience, my age doesn't make any good contribution to me in this case. Or many might think that experience will be helpful and will overcome. But often experience brings in this: without him I can do nothing. And if he's not near me, if he's not supporting me, if I'm in this dark and desolate place, oh, what is my hope? Friend, does he not hear the poor soul's cry and petition? Thou shalt have tribulation 10 days. It doesn't say you shall have tribulation without murmuring and passing the test by accepting everything and enduring everything. No, it doesn't say that at all. But the opening clause is, fear none of these things. The Lord has said he hears the groaning of the prisoner. Does not the 10 days cover Oh, the period in prison, shut up. Yet he hears the groaning of the prisoner. What a wonderful word that is. As they've been brought to that place, you cannot even cry. You can only groan. Yes, fear none of those things. You may say, well, you can't understand what they're saying. They're not incoherent at all. My friends, fear none of those things. He understands. He understands those sighs, those cries, the falling of a tear. He, as being an all-wise God and a merciful God, does he not listen to thee? Has he not said, before they call, I will answer? Before they call, I will answer. I say, fear none of those things. It calls to mind an experience of a very young man, and I was put in a very difficult position. It wouldn't do to go into all the details now, but I tell you this, it caused me to fall down in prayer before the world and pray the Lord would hear me and help me. And truly, as I was going back home, I met the very man who I never expected to meet, and he said, I'll help you in this matter immediately. Oh, I say, before they call, I will answer. What is the purpose of these things? We notice the last part of the verse. He says, be thou faithful unto death. How can we be faithful unto death? When we think how weak and frail we have proved to be in such trivial things, maybe. But listen, if we have been failure in these, and he has helped us, will he not be our helper in more difficult and trying things than what we have already passed through? Yes, before they call, I will answer. An all-wise and all-gracious God, he goes before them and makes rough places plain and crooked paths straight. This word, be thou faithful unto death, it is an exhortation unto us and to the Lord's people to be faithful unto death. We cannot say in the eventide of life, oh well, I needn't take such a hard line of things now. I can take things more easy and be more liberal with the worldling and those who love sin, because after all my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sinner, oh, does he not try us to the very end, does he say, with regard to our faithfulness? I say, he which endureth unto the end, said Jesus, shall be saved. What a trial that is. And shall I to the end endure? I don't know how it is with you, friends, but I find this comes across me so easily. Shall I to the end endure? Will it not prove at last that I am a hypocrite, and my religion is all vain, and I shall be cast out into outer darkness? Be ye faithful unto death. We know that death is is final, isn't it? Here below, it will be final to the temptations of Satan. It will be final to sinning here below. It will surely bring us face to face with the judgment of Almighty God. It will surely bring us here to prove all things, whether we be right or be wrong. Unto the end, there'll be no going back again. No. You know, we can't go back in life, can we? We've often thought, if I could only live my life again, I would do things differently. But we can't. And no, can we go back from death? It will be final. The prospect, I say, before us can either be only one thing or the other. There's no grey areas there in between. It would either be eternal destruction or eternal life with Jesus forevermore, a solemn thought that is. Be thou faithful unto death. Being faithful is keeping on the right track. It's not, as some people may think, of faithfulness as honouring our agreement with God. Friend, not so. We cannot make an agreement with God, but we plead with Him that He might make an agreement with us. And thus, oh, that we might be faithful, to turn to no other, and to be looking to Him alone. Not to seeking another God or another easy option in life, but oh, to be faithful, clinging and clinging to Him in trials and tribulation. I say, how often it has proved that tribulations do not indeed divide the love between a man and his wife, but often bring them closer together. I proved this before I was married, when people tried hard to separate us and divide us. It brought us closer together, friends. It really did. And how much more so when Satan comes and seeks to separate us from Christ and to divide us. Does it not cause the poor sinner to cry out in agony, "Lord, hear me. Lord, help me. Save me, Lord, oh, from this awful foe of Satan and all the agents he can bring in and muster up to fight against me. I haven't got a hope in self, but my hope is only in me." Faithful, I say, in believing. Faithful in trusting in Him. My friend, go a step further. Faithful in loving Him. I say, the Church of God is often related to as the Bride of Christ. I say, how can we be the Bride of Christ if we are unfaithful to Him? How can He be our Master and our friend if we are unfaithful to Him? Oh, forbid the very thought of it, but rather be ye faithful unto death. Yea, till we come to the end. We know in natural unions it is faithful unto death, but in the Church of God it is otherwise. Be thou faithful unto death, and you'll never be separated from Him. Wonder, I say, of wonders, never separated from Him. Surely it will be declared then, "For this poor sinner I died. For this poor sinner I suffered. For this poor sinner I made a covenant with the Almighty that he should be redeemed from death and from hell. He should be saved from the righteous law, because I will fulfill all things for them. O be thou faithful unto death. The Lord does not require of us to work out our salvation, but surely he to be faithful unto him, that we may be made willing that he will work out our salvation for us. Let me come to another point here. Be thou faithful unto death. A faithful follower is a disciple of Jesus. And I say it will cause them to follow him, wherever that may prove to be. We may cry out and say, and Lord, must it, Lord, be so? Or must all these various woes come upon me? Be thou faithful. His one word calls to all his people is this: follow thou me. I say, what love we see have filled the hearts of many at that wondrous call and direction to them, that they have rose up instantaneously and followed him. They have not time, as it were, or room for thought to work things out. He works all things for us and within us. And the plan, I say, is his. The system is his. The expenses, friends, are his. Follow thou me. Be thou faithful unto death. Art thou still trying to pay thy own expenses in this awful court case in heaven? Friend, it's an impossibility. But I say, he has gone before. He is the great mediator, and he has paid everything for his dear people. Oh, that we might be faithful unto him. Yea, and to surely set forth his praise unto us these years in the wilderness. We may well say, well, I have tried to be faithful. I have prayed to Almighty God that he would keep me by his almighty power. Oh, be ye faithful unto death, that you might continue on. Yea, continue on. Trusting, leaning upon him alone. Be thou faithful. Where are you sheltering? What is your protection? Have you come to some conclusion or idea that I must do more for myself? I must take appropriate means, yea, to do better and get things done more perfectly. Friends, that's not being faithful to Jesus Christ, is it? It's trusting wholly in him to do everything in me and for me. I should never forget, many years ago now, I'd just gone out to preach, and a certain minister took me by the lapels and said, young man, do you realise what you have undertaken? And I didn't answer, and he took me by the lapels and somewhat with violence and shook me. Do you understand what you have undertaken? I said, I have undertaken nothing at all, but he has promised to undertake all things for me. Friend, oh, be thou faithful unto death. Oh, we could not go on, could we, from year to year, from Sabbath to Sabbath, without his help and his assistance. It's not just in the pulpit, is it? Oh, no. It's in the diaconate also. many burdens, many cares are laid upon those dear servants of the Lord who serve in this capacity. Be thou faithful unto death. It may be the Lord has made us a doorkeeper. Yes, we still need to be faithful unto death in that capacity, that we might do all things to his honour and to his glory. Be thou faithful unto death. All that the Lord has given us, and whatever abilities we have, if we have opportunity to share it with us, we need to continue in that way. Sometimes it is expressed, well, I've done my share and I'm not doing any more. You've done your share. Oh, I say, we're apt to talk like this, but we couldn't have done anything unless the Lord had helped us. What a mercy, those blessed words in Scripture, thou hast been my help, thou hast been my help, and that he will be our helper still, to guide us and direct us, yea, to him. Oh, these days of tribulation, they belong to the people of God, who belong to the great shepherd of the sheep. It is he that leads them through. It is he that provides for their need. It is he that keeps and protects them from the wiles of the devil and savage beasts of prey. Be thou faithful unto death. It is he that leads us into pastures green. We may think, well, that pasture does not come up to the expectation I was looking for. Oh, be thou faithful unto death, my friend, that we might be content with our lot, and know that God knows best, and that we may be given much unto prayer and be in communication with him. I say, are we not thankful sometimes, though we're so fatigued and can't fall far short in many things, that we have a God to go to, a God who hears and answers prayer, a God who does not upbraid us for coming. To me, it's a wonderful thing. It may not be so much to other people who have so much more ability than myself, but I say, to be able to go to him and ask him for wisdom and understanding when he has promised, he will not upbraid us if we come. He will not scorn us at all. Oh, be thou faithful unto death. But there's a little more, isn't there, to this? And I will give thee a crown. A crown. But more than that, a crown of life. The crown that he will give to his people in heaven will be that which is significant of the possessor of eternal life that they have been given. It has been imparted to them through Jesus Christ. Oh, dost thou look at thy crown? Oh, dost thou say to him, Lord, oh, I do love thee. I do not deserve such a crown. Why, we would cast it at thy feet. But Lord, we love to wear it, and oh, to set it forth. Oh, this I have not deserved. I have not won it. But I have mercifully and been graciously given to me the crown of life. It is not just for a season. It's for life, my friends. And when we say life, it's life eternal, eternal life. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. I say, what a crown that is. that he gives to his people. These are they which have come up out of great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and has made them white. Yes, and I will give them the crown of life. Oh, may it be that this might be our desire, yea, to wear that crown of life when we pass from one, this world here below, to the realms of eternal life forevermore. Amen. grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the teaching of thy Holy Spirit be with us each. It is better.